Man, people crazy out these streets, bro. I've been grinding since I was like 15 with this music, bro. I've learned that I can't please everybody. And there's been a lot of love, but there's also been misunderstanding, hate, and this box they put me in. And it makes them uncomfortable if I'm not in it.
DJ KJ.
And I ain't in it.
Whoa, this power and worse on
welcome
speed,
back to
okay?
I Went Out. And I might not do it your way, it's okay. You just today is Monday, so of course we have another installment of our Walking Through the Book of James series. We are continuing our walk through the Book of James with verses 5 through 9 in chapter 2. But before we get started, just a reminder to subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Please leave a rating and or review. It's always helpful to us, but it's helpful to you guys so that you don't miss out on any content when it drops. All right, and just a reminder, should do this at the top of the episode, just to remind you guys that if you have any questions or comments or anything, feel free to send an audio message or text message or anything to nick@avertchurch.com. And we're planning on going through those, doing questions and responses at the end of the series.
Amen.
All right, guys. James chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. Listen, my dear brothers. Didn't God choose the poor in this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? Yet you dishonored that poor man. Don't the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Don't they blaspheme and the noble name that you bear? If you really carry out the royal law prescribed in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show favoritism, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. All right, verse 5, Nick. What do you see there?
Oh, man, that's a loaded verse.
Mm-hmm.
Because it says, didn't God choose the poor in this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? Because I think here, I wish I could do some like historical, like some more context to this, but I think he's definitely talking about a physical poorness, yeah. But I don't think he's just talking strictly physically, monetarily poor.
Yeah.
I think we can talk about like the spiritual poorness, the bankrupts, like our bankrupt hearts, the lack of spirituality and the lack of faith in God. So one, actually, I think I wrote something down. I'm gonna share it. Okay. A little scatterbrain. And it says, when Jesus speaks about the poor, he is talking about those who have no money. He is talking about those who have no money and also those, man, look, I should have spoke read from what I read the first time instead of just talking about those who have no money, but also those whose simple values are despised by much of our affluent society. Perhaps the poor people prefer serving to managing, human relationships to financial security, peace to power. This doesn't mean that the poor will automatically go to heaven and that the rich go to hell. Poor people however, are usually more aware of their powerlessness, which means it's often easier for them to acknowledge their need for salvation. Pride is the greatest barrier to those that are rich, and bitterness can be a barrier for those that are poor.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have enough. God, like, if you were there, you would give me X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side of the spectrum, pride says, well, I have X, Y, and Z, so why do I need you?
Yeah.
I don't need a God. I mean, I think of the rich young ruler. There's two great stories that Jesus lays out. You have the story of the rich young ruler,
mm-hmm.
who has everything, right?
Yeah.
And Jesus tells him, well, you've done all this, but go sell all your possessions and follow me.
Mm-hmm.
And he walks away discouraged. Then you have this story of Zacchaeus, which is a polar opposite of the rich young ruler. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Zacchaeus was wealthy. He was also despised by his Jewish brothers and sisters because he was a tax collector. But he was relentlessly pursuing God. I mean, the story goes that he climbed a sycamore fig tree,
yeah.
To view God,
yeah.
or to view Jesus. And then Jesus calls him by name, which that alone is a beautiful image. There is like,
yeah.
Yo, you don't need to climb a tree to see God. I know you by name.
Mm-hmm.
But then he tells Zacchaeus, come down. I want to be a guest in your house. So Zacchaeus takes him home and does all this. And then Zacchaeus, man, I don't want to mess up the scripture here. I'm going to read it. He says, meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor. Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. So two wealthy men, two opposite stories. Zacchaeus responded by the overwhelming joy of knowing that God knows him and loves him despite everything that he's done. He's a tax collector. Tax collectors were dirty. Tax collectors, you know, first of all, they were already deemed terrible people in the Jewish society because they were working for the Romans who were oppressing them. But then these tax collectors would also take more than what that the Roman government required and pocketed. And so that's why I love how Zacchaeus' response to Jesus' love is like, Jesus didn't even tell him to do this. Zacchaeus says, you know, I'm going to give back I'm going to give half my wealth to the poor. I will pay back four times as much as what basically he's saying I did. If I've wronged you, I'm going to pay you back four times as much. So it's a beautiful response. Like, so when not all rich people go to hell. Some rich people respond to Jesus like it is like that. It's like Zacchaeus. But then there's other times where it's just like, I ain't doing that, Lord.
Right.
You can have this. I got my wealth here right now.
Right.
So
that's good.
That's kind of what sticks out to me with this. And then again, the poor. I have a soft spot for this, so I could talk about being poor quite a bit with working at Lifestyles, because I walked in my preconceived notions of homeless people. And let me tell you, they were wrecked while working at Lifestyles. Well, I'm sure we'll get into that in other parts of this. But yeah, that's kind of what sticks out to me is God chose the poor because I think the poor can be, they're more ready to receive salvation.
Yeah.
Not that God specifically said, I'm coming for the poor only. Like, no, God's for everybody.
Right.
But he chose the poor because the poor know their need and their powerlessness and how they need God. I think about times in my life where I've been spiritually poor and I needed something, or I've been physically poor. Like, there's so many different things. Like, it's not always monetarily thing. Right. So,
yeah, that's good. Yeah, there is I did notice that with this scripture. I feel like there is like kind of like a two sides to it here.
Yes.
I read this, and I don't know who's it by, but it says, the rich man may trust him, but the poor man must trust him. And that stood out because I think, you know,
that's good.
Yeah. Because God doesn't only choose the poor, but I feel like he chooses the poor first because the poor have less obstacles to put their faith in him. Yeah. And like we kind of read in the first chapter of James where he just talked about trials and stuff and how we need trials. Because trials forces us to realize that we need a savior, and then we look to Christ as being that savior. Salvation comes from Christ alone. And so I think you kind of see that there, but it's that. So and you mentioned this, but I think it kind of plays into what we see kind of with the prosperity gospel and why it's so dangerous, because part of, and I guess the big part of what they preach is that your wealth is kind of attached to your goodness.
Yeah.
And so it's like, if you're doing good, you're most likely going to be wealthy. God is going to bless you abundantly. But then, like, they don't mention how they're kind of like, while they're preaching that, it's like on the opposite end of the spectrum. It's like you're almost saying that those who are poor because they're bad or whatever. But Paul tells us that none of us are good. And that we are saved by grace through faith alone. And so I think that's kind of where what this is kind of hinting at. And it's like, you know, even when you think about Jesus, God, he is God. Became human, added humanity to his deity, and came into the world as a poor man.
Yeah.
He was not rich.
No. Bro, during his ministry, he was poor.
Yeah.
People don't realize that. This man, like, he relied upon going to people inviting him into their homes, to people giving to what they were doing. Like, yes. He wasn't rich. He wasn't walking around paying for everything. Mm-hmm. Like, that's pretty clear in scripture as you're reading that. So, yeah. I think that's a really interesting point to bring up.
Yeah. And so, I feel like he did that to relate.
Yeah.
He did that to relate to the poor, to the weak, to those who lacked.
Yeah.
And he came bringing all grace and truth to save those, not only who are poor, but all people. But because of that state of being poor and needing a savior, he chose them first by coming into this world as poor.
Yeah.
I kind of look at it that way.
Yeah. And I think in our American culture, it's hard because we have a lot of, like, even the, even the poor and the homelessness in this world, like, you're much better off here still than being in a third world country, being poor. Mm-hmm. It's just different.
Yeah.
There's resources here. Like, if I'm poor in Yemen, I don't have an organization like Lifestyles where I can go. Mm-hmm. I just don't. I'm probably going to starve to death or be caught up in something that I shouldn't be caught up in. So, like, it's different being poor here than there. And I think it's also the wealth in this country. It blinds us to certain things. It's like, hold up. No.
Yeah.
We have some barriers that we have to walk through.
Yeah.
And just because, again, that if you're wealthy, like, me and you know some wealthy people who are extremely generous and, like, man, I swear.
Yeah.
God's got a special place in heaven for this man. So,
amen.
That dude is just so open-handed in a loving way, because he knows, like, ultimately his reward's in heaven. It ain't here.
Yeah.
All this financial stuff, like, it ain't nothing for him.
That's right.
And he, again, he doesn't cling to it all. Mm-hmm. He gives it away.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think if you're rich and you're listening, amen, congrats, but be a blessing.
Yes.
Don't find your value and your worth in your net worth.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That is a sin, and it's going to fade away.
That's right. Yeah.
And I think, again, like, going back to what you said, like, homeless people, like, or not even homeless, like, poor people they don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have something to cling to.
Mm-hmm.
But on the, like, again, I think I brought up, like, they can also get real bitter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Lord, why haven't you given me this? Oh, now you want to tell me this? You want me to do that? But you haven't given, like, it's bitterness is real easy to come in. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like you mentioned, though, like, just because you're rich doesn't mean you're going to hell.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's how you steward it.
Yeah.
And I think a parallel to it, since we kind of talked about this, is when you have accepted Christ, you have entered into wealth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now it's like, what are you going to do with that wealth? Which is what James is talking about in the entire book. Is like, now that you have this faith in Christ, now do.
Yeah.
And if you have this wealth of knowledge about Jesus, who is your Savior, and you're not doing, or you're not working out of this wealth of salvation, then what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, you're in sin.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. And again, I think, going back to Zacchaeus, man, Zacchaeus realized that wealth that he had just gained in Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's when all of a sudden he responds by saying, I'm going to do all this.
Right.
Like, and I always come back to, like, that's not a faith plus works thing.
Mm-hmm.
That is a faith that brought about that.
Yes.
A faith that he had just realized, like, whoa, Jesus is God.
Yeah.
Jesus, God knows me.
Yeah.
And because of that knowledge, I'm going to do this.
Amen.
So.
Amen. All right. Verses, I'm going to combine 6 and 7 here.
Yeah.
So, yet you dishonored that poor man. Don't the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Don't they blaspheme the noble name that you bear? Mm-hmm. What do you see there? Because I think it kind of points to how the rich have power to oppress, in a way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what's that saying? The rich get richer and the poor get poor?
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's some truth to that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I even think about some of our systems we have in place now. It's to keep the poor, some poor people poor.
Yeah.
I've seen it firsthand how like they give handouts rather than, and that's why I love like when working for the organization Lifestyles of Maryland, like, man, they were all about hand ups. Like, mm-hmm. we're gonna give you this, but we're also gonna help you figure this out.
Yeah.
And I think there's again, it's all about people's choices. Some people took the handout and just left it and didn't want the hand up.
Mm.
They didn't want to get out of homelessness. They loved the lifestyle.
Wow.
They loved having everything given to them. And the way, and I'm not to say the system's bad, because there's some people that genuinely need this stuff, but there's some people that do abuse it.
Yeah.
Who will genuinely like, why I gotta do all this? I can get this for free.
Yeah.
I got the state giving me this amount of money each month. Like, I'm good.
Right.
It's like, oh, all right. So, yeah, I don't know, man. But yeah, I do believe that, you know, sometimes it can be, and I think it comes down to, again, judgment, man.
Mm-hmm.
The way we view people. Because again, like, I hate to admit it, but I had some preconceived notions about homeless people, man. Like, man, I ain't gonna give you no money.
Right.
You can go buy drugs, go drink alcohol, and gonna do all, like, all that. Like, I wouldn't give you money.
Right.
But man, working at Lifestyles, it changed that.
Yeah.
In the sense, I guess, in comparison to that part, like, I'm thinking about a scenario in my head where this dude walked up to me, like, bro, he's like, bro, I need some money. I'm like, man, you ain't need no money. I'll get you a sandwich. He's like, I don't want no sandwich. I was like, I need money. Like, what the you need money for, bro? Like, I mean, often you buy you lunch. You don't want no lunch?
Right.
But anyway, like, I had, like, who am I to dictate what that man was going to do with that money?
Hmm.
You know? Like, he genuinely might need that money to pay a bill. I don't know.
Right.
And honestly, it wasn't my, in my mind, I was like, but I'm not about to enable this man to go do something.
Right.
But ultimately, it's his decision. I had the funds. I should have done it. I could have done it. But I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, I continued to let this, like, in my mind, oppress.
Mm-hmm.
And keep this man in this unfortunate situation. Now, granted, I'm not the main cause.
Right.
But, like, still, like, I could see how it's done. And it was because it was done out of judgment, though.
Yes.
And, man, let me tell you. There's more people, and I can speak specifically for Charles County. There's more people that are homeless, not by their choice.
Wow.
It is due to some unforeseen, and honestly, it's crazy circumstances. It's not as often people are homeless because of a drug addiction or some sort of addiction that you might think.
Yeah.
It is a loss of a job, a divorce that went bad, and man, I have so many stories of people that just lost everything.
Mm.
And it breaks your heart, and it's also humbling to realize, like, man, all these ideas I had about people that were poor were flipped upside down.
Yeah.
Granted, thank God I was a Christian when that happened too, because then I could start seeing things from a Christian perspective. But man, we've really got to move past viewing poor, homeless, whatever you want to look, however you want to look at it, as less than. Like, no, they're human beings.
Yeah.
And man, I had some of the best spiritual conversations in my Christian walk with homeless people, man.
Wow.
Because they were in such a place where they were like, man, I love my Lord. Like, yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no home. I lost my home to a fire, but my God is still my God. And it's like, all right, that's some solid faith right there. I don't know if I'd be saying that if my house burned down in a moment, but
yeah.
It was a breath of fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
And not to view them as projects,
right?
As people.
Yeah.
And not to, because it can be real prideful real quick when you're like, yeah, I'm helping this homeless person. I'm getting them up on their feet. Yeah. Like, man, are you doing it out of the love you have for that person? Or are you doing it for the recognition of you helping them?
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. I just went on a little tangent there, but.
No, that was good. You mentioned, you know, that term judgmental.
Yeah.
And I just started thinking of how, like, you know, we were kind of talking a little bit before recording this, just how. To treat non-Christians and what that looks like.
Yeah.
And what measure we are to hold them to.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think so often as Christians, we can get into this mode of holding them to a standard they shouldn't be held to.
Yeah.
And I think that that's also a form of oppressing in a way. Because if we want to continue along these lines of, you know, saying this kind of points to an eternal perspective, Just thinking of it in a sense of Christians really loving on other Christians.
Yeah.
But kind of turning a blind eye to the poor.
Yeah.
In this sense, who are the non-Christians.
Yeah.
Because they are poor. They are eternally poor. They are homeless eternally because they don't know Christ.
That's it.
They don't have faith in Christ.
That's good.
And so I don't want to get too deep because it ties into this next verse. But yeah, I kind of see that.
Yeah. No, I'm with you there.
The scripture. Yeah.
I'm with you, man. I have the... I forgot what I was going to say. Go ahead. This is getting late, y'all. My brain's fading.
All right. Verses 8 and 9. If you really carry out the royal law prescribed in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show favoritism, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors.
Mm. All right. I know what I was going to say, and I think I could tie it into this as well. But if you show favoritism, you commit sin and are convicted by the law of as transgressors. So I'm going to give you a story from when I was working at Lifestyles of just some of the favoritism I saw in churches. Mm. And let me tell you, it's part of the reason. Some of the stuff I saw while working at Lifestyles, because Lifestyles, again, we had this program called Safe Nights.
Right.
And we go to local churches that open their doors and are very generous to open their doors and provide meals for the homeless population each week. Mm. I saw some stuff. Saw the way church people responded to homeless people.
Wow.
And man, let me tell you, put a sour taste in my mouth at the church. Because I was still pretty young in my faith walk when I worked at Lifestyles. And they took it. First of all, Lifestyles is an amazing organization. They took a chance on me and gave me a homeless coordinator position when you're supposed to have a college degree. I had no college degree.
Wow.
Miss Washington, who leads that organization, is the CEO, man. She is a gift to this earth. But anyway, that's beside the point. Just quick shout out to her. I love her. She's a mom to me. But the way church people, I would watch interactions and I had a lot of, and cause I worked at the homeless population daily. I was there. Like, I remember I always draw the short end of the stick. Anytime it snowed in Charles County, it would be my night and I'd get snowed in and would sleep there and have to stay there and all that kind of stuff, which was awesome because, man, I was able to build some really meaningful relationships in there. But when I say favoritism, I was at a specific church. I will not say what denomination, what it was, where it is, but, man, we were there once. Night one, I don't know if they were both part of the Nation of Islam or one was and the other was not a believer at all. But this church asked everybody to stand up and pray. I know what it was. This was not the Nation of Islam, dude. This was two people that were not believers. Mm. And they got the two individuals didn't want to stand up and pray before dinner because it's just not
right.
Like, what, they don't believe there's a God, so they weren't going to pray.
Yeah.
Bro, this church basically disowned them.
Wow.
And I watched as no volunteers spoke with them. No volunteers, like, really, like, even when they went to get their food, it was kind of just like, it's like, y'all realize you have this beautiful opportunity before you right now to share the gospel with not even speaking a word.
Yeah.
Your actions right now are speaking very loudly to them on why they don't want to believe in a God.
Yeah.
Because you are telling them, oh, if you don't do this and you're not a Christian, then you'll never make it.
Mm-hmm.
And man, like, that hurt. It hurt to watch that. It hurt to watch how they were just disowned. And then there's other instances where there was one of my brothers who was a part of the Nation of Islam. And man, the church was just like, they just put like a hex on him, like, stay away.
Wow.
Like, and it's like, bro, like, share the love.
Yeah.
You don't, like, man, yeah, you have two different faiths, but like, you don't have to hate on this man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no need for that.
Yeah.
Or I have some people like, man, well, this homeless person's very clean and they do this. And then, but then I've got my homeboy who's drunk as a skunk, and who they're just like, this is, you got to get him out of here. It's like, he's not drinking here though. Like, and that's part of the rules. Like, man, they can come here and buzz, like, as long as they lay down, they're not disorderly.
Right.
Man, but they were just so, like, just the way the church dealt with people.
Mm-hmm.
It was really discouraging. And I realized that, again, if some of these homeless people said they were Christians, this favoritism showed. If they weren't alcoholics, if they had kids, the volunteers would tend to them a little more, and I get it because it's comfortable.
Right.
Um, man, we're not called to be comfortable.
That's right.
Man, and you have, and my mind is like, there is no greater opportunity than to share the love of Christ with somebody that you know, like, you know, is coming in, who's already thinks, you know, they know that society thinks they're less than. And to come to a church and to feel that way, it's like, man, I'm so sorry. Breaks my heart for people that have to experience that. It broke my heart to see that. And man, let me, there's some other stories where Pastor Nick had to be talked off the ledge a few times for throwing down with some bishops and some and some first ladies.
Yeah.
And some pastors, because they were just saying some things and doing some miles. I'm like, what are y'all doing? I know this is sidetracking, but I was at one church where this my homeboy walked in the church and I got they called the cops that night. Because somebody came in buzz and accidentally dropped a table on one of the deacon's wife. He dropped the table on the deacon's wife by accident. He was just trying to help. He was just trying to help.
Yeah.
But he was buzzed. Like, you know, when you're buzzed, you're not fully there. Like, right. And he was genuinely trying to help, and I watched him.
Yeah.
Bro, this woman tore him up. Wow. Was in his face saying this, that, and the other, and I was like, whoa, excuse you.
Right.
You cannot talk to him like that. It was an accident. I watched it. It's just blah, 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 blah. Going on and on. And I always say, oh boy, the deacon comes over with his little colostomy bag. He's like, son, I'm gonna need you not to talk to my wife like that. Like, first of all, step back. Y'all are not in charge here. Right. Like, you need to, like, chill out. Like, you're disrespecting him. Like, he apologized the second it fell. Like, and yet you're belittling this man. And he's already, and this is a dude who I know had one foot in, one foot was out. He was ready to completely walk away from the faith altogether.
Wow.
And then the deacon calls the police. Thankfully I knew the officer that came. It was a black officer. And bro, homeboy walks back in church and tells and then I think that night there was a couple, it was like very few white people in there, and bro walks in there and tells the church, y'all lucky it's a black officer, because you know it's one of them white officers, he's gonna come here and shoot all of y'all.
Wow.
And I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, you are not helping the case at all. Like, man. And like, when I have when I have my clients walking up to me, telling me, Nick, we don't feel safe here. Like, I don't know what's going on. Wait. It's like, man, it's just so disheartening to hear that.
Man.
And that church was not happy, because the police officer walked up to me and was like, hey, is everything okay? I was like, it's fine. He's like, I'm out. And he left. Because again, like, they're not, the church is never supposed to call the police.
Yeah.
It's on the coordinator. I was trying to handle the situation, but because they already, and again, their views came through of how they responded,
right.
How quickly they were to let them know who they were.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, I don't ever walk around saying I'm pastor this, I'm pastor that. Like, my man was quick to let me know he was a deacon. He was quick to let me know that was his wife.
Oh, yeah, they don't play about this stuff.
Nah, he was quick to let everybody know in there who he was, and don't play no games. And it was like, bro, what are you doing? You're putting yourself on a pedestal right now.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
These people, like, the people that are in here, man, so many of them really are one foot in the door, one foot out.
Yeah.
And by our actions, and man, there's some verses, like, I feel like Jesus says, like, if you cause the least of one of these this trip, like, man, you better have a millstone tied around your neck and go to the bottom. Like, don't. Yeah. And so often I feel like I saw people doing that, and man, it crushed my heart.
Mm.
I mean, I saw pastors would walk in and take photo ops with being there with all the homeless people. And then I had one incident where an individual was like, really had some serious questions. And I didn't know. I was a young Christian at that point. I couldn't answer. I was like, that's the pastor. We're here.
Yeah.
He didn't even acknowledge him. Just walked out. But I guarantee you, he used that photo op on Sunday morning to let his congregation know how good he was.
Definitely.
And it was like, oh. Yeah. Let's not do this, y'all. They're people. Let's love them as God's creation, because that's what they are. And so many of them really have genuine questions. And we just botch it.
That's right.
So. I know I went on like 5 different rabbit trails there.
No, you explained it well.
Yeah.
You explained it very well. That's disheartening.
Yeah.
To hear.
You show favoritism to those you're comfortable with.
Yeah. You know, because it says in the scripture, carry out the royal law prescribed in scripture, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, we hear that all the time, but it's like, who is your neighbor?
Yeah.
Like, your neighbor is not just the rich.
Yep.
And to give that parallel that we've been talking about throughout this entire episode, your neighbor is not just your fellow brother or sister in Christ.
Yeah, no.
Your neighbor is everyone.
Yep.
And it is your duty not to be impartial or partial to the law that was prescribed in the scripture, you are to love all people.
Yeah.
And we fail at that so often because we can be so judgmental. And it's something that I feel like Christians really, really have to work on.
Yeah.
You know, we sit here, we talk about so many other people and stuff, and it's like, you know, we can't do this.
Yeah.
Our duty is to love, and all that other stuff, it'll come. Because, like, yeah, if you are bearing fruit, if you're doing, if you're morally responsible with your duties as a Christian, it's going, you're, they're going to be able to tell that you're a Christian by your love.
Yeah.
They're going to sense that in your deeds and in your actions, and through that, conversations will occur, and you will be able to tell them, hey, this is why I am the way I am.
Yeah.
It's because of Jesus.
Yep.
You know, and we put up a wall more often than really breaking it down.
Yeah.
By showing so much partiality to people and judging so many people.
Yep.
So yeah.
I mean, I think about, man, I don't know if I want to go down that trail tonight, but immigrants,
mm-hmm,
just how some of us in the Christian circles have just been like, well, they're illegal. It's like, mm-hmm, oh gosh,
yeah,
they're still people. Let's treat them with some dignity, mm-hmm, and humanity, and give them an opportunity.
Right.
Like, it's and man, like, Jesus was an immigrant.
Yeah.
Like, let's be real.
Yeah.
Like, he was not where he, I mean, he was, in, yeah. So we can, I'm not going to get into that tonight, mm-hmm, but yeah, we just got to be mindful of who our neighbor is.
That's right.
It's the immigrant. It's the homosexual person living next door to you. It's the brother who is, follows the Nation of Islam. Mm-hmm. It's the Buddhist. It's so, I mean, the list goes on.
Yes.
Those are our neighbors.
Yes.
And we shouldn't walk away out of fear of, like, I don't know what to say, but just love them.
Yes.
Talk to them, have a beautiful relationship with them, mm-hmm, and you'd be surprised by how open people are to having faith conversations when you just show that you're genuinely wanting to get to know them.
Yeah,
man. Like, when I worked in construction, which is a cesspool, I would never let anybody know I was in school to be a pastor. Mm-hmm. I just didn't want people to know, because I knew how I was and how I was, like, people of faith were. And I was like, man, I don't want them to not talk to me because they know I'm doing this, because they've had bad experiences before. Like, right, some of them found out that I was a pastor, like, Nick, you're a pastor? It's like, oh, I'm going to be in school. But he was like, bro, I'm so sorry for saying this. Like, don't apologize to me, bro. You were being who you were. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate you having this conversation with me. And we have some awesome dialogues. I mean, I had one dude tell me one day, once he found out I was a pastor, he was like, bro, I'm too far gone, aren't I? I smiled. I was like, no, sir.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what that really means, though.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, again, I think when you start surrounding yourself with non-believers, you find yourself in some situations where you can really be the hands and feet of Jesus in those moments.
Amen.
And not that, and I don't want people to hear this. If you're a Christian, guess what? You need to hear the gospel every day, too.
Yes.
We can get stagnant in our walks. We can get prideful in our walks.
Mm-hmm.
Man, the gospel is for us every day.
Yeah.
We need to know Jesus every day just as much as a non-believer does.
Amen.
So, that's it for me.
Amen. Yeah, I think that was good, man.
Yeah.
That was really good. All right, guys. Just a reminder to subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. We appreciate those who have already left a rating and or review, but if you haven't, please consider doing so on iTunes. Helps us, but it also helps you guys so that you don't miss out on any content when it drops. And just another reminder to email nick@avertchurch.com. Yeah, nick@avertchurch.com.
There you go.
Yeah. You can send text or audio messages to him, and we'll read those off towards the end of the series. All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
See ya.
Peace.